Yeah. When my niggas down in Central, they gon'
shoot. And we're joined once again on a Tuesday edition of The Scoop by Colton Molesky. Time for You Betcha. Taking a look at the results from week 8 of the college football season. Colton, as always, glad to have you back on the show. What's happening?
Oh, I am enjoying the college football season as we progress along, all the drama that goes with teams getting upset and finding kind of the teams that are good versus the teams that have been fooling us. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, and it was a particularly nutty weekend. Ohio State got just throttled by Purdue. That's one that we all saw coming. I found a way to go 0-3 in my picks somehow, because as you always should do, anytime you have a large point spread, just take it. Just don't look at anything related to the game, just like I did. And I think I soundly went, I think I might have had one win, but I definitely went, definitely had two huge losses. No, I went 0-3. Awful. But anyway, let's look at some of the other results that we saw from the weekend. What were the big surprises for you, including that Ohio State blowout loss?
I was kind of surprised by Stanford being able to pull off the win. If you watch the game on Thursday, then you know that it was surprising because the Sun Devils had three turnovers in that game. They actually led the country with the fewest turnovers. They only had two turnovers going into week 8. So that one was pretty surprising, just as a team that's really good at home, turning the ball over a bunch of times and losing that one. I was not surprised, but just I enjoyed very much the LSU-Mississippi State game. That defense is something else. Watch. If you're not taking advantage of it every single week watching it, I think you're making a mistake. I really liked Washington State over Oregon. I actually called the upset in. I call them that right every week. The College 5, the top 5 games to watch. Gardner Minshew, I think, is kind of an under-the-radar quarterback that is just by a hair second in the country in passing yards. And I think he's really, really good. He slid into that Luke Falk role really well, slid into that system really, really well. And I think that this guy could maybe take the Pac-12 by storm. Jake Browning has been up and down this year, as the Washington Huskies have kind of been. They've had some really close games that they probably shouldn't have been super close. The Utah game comes to mind. I know Utah's been playing well as of late, but with an offense like the Washington Huskies, it shouldn't have been that close. So Washington State has a really good chance of winning the Pac-12 here if they can keep this hot streak going after being the number 12 team in the country. Another one that surprised me, Penn State playing Indiana close. Indiana, not really the stoutest of teams, but they were able to keep the margins very tight for most of that game against Penn State. Penn State has some real problems on defense that I don't think we saw earlier in the year, but has kind of pushed them out of real contention for the Big Ten. This is kind of the Ohio State's race to lose, and they're really letting Michigan catch back up into it. And that's kind of, if we're looking at it from the Big Ten angle, that's really the most interesting race, is Michigan versus Ohio State. Obviously, they have that rivalry game to play at the end of the season. But Michigan hasn't been amazing all season long, but that Notre Dame loss keeps looking better the further away you get from it. And they have been winning games, even if the margins have been slim sometimes. They've been winning games, and now Ohio State is in a spot after that loss that you mentioned where they could give this up to Michigan very easily.
Colton, it's been a couple of awful weeks for the Gophers defense, and they go to Nebraska, and Nebraska comes just shy of 700 total yards of offense in an absolute runaway win. That was actually very close in the second half. It was 28-22 at one point, and then the Cornhuskers just absolutely run away and hide. Looking at this Gopher team, are we starting to see a little bit of a loss in confidence, or is this just simply a young team that is still trying to figure out what they need to do in order to win games at the collegiate level?
I don't think there can be an excuse for this Gophers team when you let up 50 points to a squad that's 0-6 going into this one. I mean, that's ridiculous. How do you How do you let that happen? I don't care how young you are or how much experience you're trying to build or what injuries you have. If you're a Gopher team with any respect for yourself, you can't give up that many points and that many yards to the Cornhuskers. It's ridiculous. And it really, this year, it's 53, not 56. But, over 50 points. And this year, it's really, the system is in place. You've had a year to kind of get your recruits in a little bit. I know that he's got a full class of young guys. And I'm not saying you should lose hope in P.J. Fleck or sell your stock or anything like that. But there should be questions of, okay, is there something that we need to flip right now? Because maybe something's wrong with the system. Maybe we're not putting these guys in the right to succeed. Something is definitely wrong, because for a Big Ten school to have 2 years where you cannot, not even that you can't win games, but you cannot compete in the Big Ten, that's a big problem, a really big problem. And there needs to be a hard look at the system and the scheme and what they're doing right now, because it's not working. And this is 2 years where it really feels like you can't win a Big Ten game, and they just lost in a blowout fashion to one of the only teams that they really shellacked last year in the Big Ten.
Colton, moving to the newest rankings for the top 25. Biggest drop, of course, Ohio State, after getting throttled by Purdue. They dropped 9 spots down to 11. Washington State up 11 spots to 14. And a couple of other teams, Oregon dropped 7 spots to 19, and NC State dropped 6 spots to 22. Any other surprises with the top 25 in terms of omissions or surprise adds? How do you feel about how things are looking for the top 25?
I was a little surprised that Stanford got back into it. They're ranked 24th, just behind Utah, who absolutely smothered them a couple weeks ago, just because it feels like Stanford really hasn't proven. And I know it's, once you get from like 13 to 25, all these teams are kind of, there's not too, it's a razor margin separating out of these teams. But it is surprising that Stanford has shown a complete inability to really run with any consistency to the ball. Their defensive line, it just doesn't have any studs on it. Their linebackers are the ones that have to create the pressure, and that's inconsistent as well. They have a quarterback who doesn't really have a lot of time to do much. This is a team that really gives you 1 to 2 quarters of really good offense, and then they disappear for 2 to 3 quarters the rest of the game. And on defense, you have to get turnovers for this defense to be doing anything. It's a very opportunistic defense, and it doesn't mean they're necessarily going to grab stops. And like I said, they got pretty lucky with a team that was really good not turning the ball over, getting 3 turnovers in that game. It's interesting that they're the 24th team in the country now all of a sudden. But maybe they can prove this week and go out and have a really good game against Washington State, but that seems unlikely.
Before we take a look at the slate for Week 9, again, let's take a look at the Heisman watch. Tua Tagovailoa, I'm getting better at the last name, continues to lead the charge, but Kyler Murray putting up some impressive stats as well. Anybody that is moving into that top 5 consideration, and is Tagovailoa still in the top spot in your mind?
I mean, I think he has to be in the top spot for everybody, just because he's probably the best, or like tied for top with like 2 other quarterbacks as the best quarterback in the country. I mean, I know that Will Greer, Dwayne Haskins, people could put those guys in the consideration for the best quarterback. They have to put Tua in there as well, just because he's doing this so efficiently. He's out for most of these games in the third quarter, and he's not even attempting a crazy amount of passes. He has 152 attempts. 152 attempts. And he's 12th in the country in passing. Let me give you kind of a comparison. Dwayne Haskins, he leads the country in passing in yards for passers. He has 315 passing attempts. Gardner Minshew, the guy I was talking about earlier, he's right behind him, second in the country in passing yards. 364 passing attempts. You even go down the list, you're around Tua at number 12 there. You have Taylor Cornelius for Oklahoma. He has 127 passing attempts. Tagovailoa has 152 attempts and 107 completions for 2,066 yards. He is uber efficient. He has 36 yards per attempt. He has 25 touchdowns. He is three times. I don't know if we're going to see a passer in college football do this again, where you can be uber efficient, you can be careful with the football, not turn it over, and you can produce this much yardage. But he is by far the best. In my mind, he's the best passer in the country, and he's on the best team. So that I would say puts him firmly ahead of the Heisman race. And help me out here, Seth. Can you remember a race that was kind of this done this early in the season? I mean, I know injuries in football happen all the time, and that would really shake things up. But aside from an injury, this has got to be the most secure race, I mean, for the last 4 weeks now, that we have seen in a long time in the Heisman race.
Yeah, I fully agree. I think everybody else in the field other than Tagovailoa is playing more so for second than first at this point. I think it's him by a large margin on top, and then everybody else is kind of trying to climb into that second place, that passenger seat. But yeah, I think it's been over for a while, and just the absurd numbers that he's putting together, I don't think anybody's going to be able to catch him either.
Well, is the no interceptions, it's how many touchdowns he has with no interceptions, it's the yards, it's the fact that he's not playing full games and he's still putting this up, it's the efficiency, it's so many factors. It's not just that he's blowing away people with yardage or with touchdowns, you know? It's crazy how good he's doing they have three running backs that would be by far and away the best running backs on so many teams in the country, and they have three of them in their backfield. And he's they're such a balanced offense, and Alabama is going to run the ball and use its running backs a lot. And so he's taking these opportunities he has with a few passes a game and making the most out of them, really making the most out of them. It's crazy to have, in most cases, a couple hundred less passing attempts than so many other quarterbacks and be right there in yardage.
Colton, let's look at the slates, and already just skimming the slate for this coming week. We've got some Thursday games with some ranked teams, some Friday games as well, including the Gophers, and then a Saturday slate that features a ton of great afternoon and evening games. Take us through some of the top games that you will be keeping an eye on here this week.
All right, so for games this week, right out the gate, I'm going to be watching the Stanford-Washington State game. I know I said that Stanford was a surprise team in the top 25, but I still think to go on the road for Washington State and to prove after the Oregon game that wasn't just a flash, or that Gardner Minshew can't do it just against teams that perennially have poor defenses. I know Stanford's defense has been weak, but their secondary is still really good. And so to go into Stanford, they're a +3 underdog. To go into Stanford as an underdog and to win that game convincingly, I think would be huge for Washington State in the rankings. And I think that's the way, if the Pac-12 wants to get a team in the playoff, I think Washington State maybe is the best shot they have to push into the playoff contention. And so Washington State has to take this one game at a time, but winning against Stanford is a step in the right direction for them for sure. Also, I'm watching Kentucky and Missouri. Kentucky, the 12th team in the country. I've been kind of on the Kentucky and LSU bandwagons for a while now, and I've really liked kind of the rough and tumble underdog Kentucky team this year, and them finding success somehow, some way. And I really like their running back, Benny Snell Jr., and his ability to find gaps, even though the Kentucky line isn't always the best at opening them up for him. And they're playing a Missouri team that just had a really good win against Memphis in a high-powered offense. And they have an offense that's going to be they'll be able to put 20 on you in a flash, and then all of a sudden you're in a hole big. So their defense for Kentucky has their work really cut out for them, but they've been really solid all year long at holding stout and not letting people into the end zone. Kentucky Wildcats are a 6.5-point underdog, and I hope they can pull off a win here going into Missouri.
Ooh, I like it. Let's just look. I'm hoping that my picks are a little better here this week than last. But let's get your locks of the week. Who you got?
My lock of the week is Washington State. I really like Gardner Minshew. I think that he is a fantastic quarterback who is in a perfect system. The Mike Leach offense is kind of built like the 2013 Oregon Ducks offense, where they're going to run the ball, sure, but they're also going to make some short passes. They're going to do a lot of slants, a lot of screens to the wide receivers, and they're going to get your corners to commit to the line of scrimmage. And then once they do that, they're going to hit you for a 30-yard pass, and it's going to be really hard on your safeties. And while Stanford has been good, they just cannot manufacture a consistent pass rush. So your secondary can only hold up so long, and if you're giving a good quarterback time, things are going to happen for that guy. And Gardner is a good quarterback, and I think this offensive line is going to be able to buy him time for large chunks of this game. And that's just too much to ask of the Stanford secondary to hold on to your receivers that long, especially when you have to commit to the line of scrimmage like they will early on in this game with all the screens and stuff to the wide receivers. So this one is just too much for the Stanford defense. And then on offense, Washington State has been exactly the most outstanding defense, but the Cardinal have really struggled to run the ball with Bryce Love. He only has 348 yards, and that is a staple of their offense. So much runs off of consistency in the running game. And so if they can't find that, then the offense isn't going to be able to find a rhythm until late. And you can't spot this Washington team a half or even a quarter because they're going to run up on you. And if the Stanford Cardinal are in a 14-0 hole going into the second quarter or going into halftime, then it might already be over for them. And so that's going to be tough for them to climb out of it. And I just really like Washington State. I think that it's a steal to get them at +3 for the point spread. And I would grab that right away if you're thinking about betting this weekend.
Boom, Colton, some great takes here as usual on the show today. We'll see how the college football landscape shakes out here this weekend. And as always, glad to have you on the show. We'll see how the picks turn out as well when we talk to you next week.
Appreciate it, Seth. Make sure to check out SB Nation, the college football that's going on there. Getting ready for college basketball as well. I'm on Conquest Chronicles. I'm on Real Tree. But make sure to check out all the good content on SB Nation for college sports. There's a ton of great writers, and there's a ton of great content out there to get you prepped for Saturday.
Love it, Colton. We'll talk to you next week.